Hi, David here, and welcome back to this series of podcasts looking at mediumship and life in spirit through the automatic writings of the early 20th century medium James Paget. In this first series of episodes, we're looking at messages James received from family members. In the last episode, we looked at a message James received from his grandmother, Anne Rollins, in which she tried to help James better understand the difference divine love makes to the soul who seeks it, and how this would help James himself, as well as enabling his people in spirit to support him more fully and to communicate through him more effectively. Like all of us, there were times when James was very much in need of encouragement. The message we're going to look at in today's episode is very poignant. It's a message James received on June 20, 1918, from his wife, Helen, after their daughter, Nita, died unexpectedly following an operation. Helen and James had three children, two sons and a daughter, Nita, the baby of the family. Indeed, baby was their pet name for her. At this point in time, the boys had grown to adulthood and moved away to build their own lives. But Nita has still been living with her father. What makes Nita's death even more difficult for James is that he had been told by Helen in one of her messages that she expected the operation to be successful. So not only has James lost his only daughter, but he also feels very keenly the disappointment of our prediction, or more properly, a projected outcome that has not come to pass. Helen has a lot of work to do in this message, and she does it very skillfully, with great care and much love. The message begins, "I am here, Helen. Well, my dear Ned, you have had your little girl leave you, as you now feel. But she has not left, for she will be with you more than ever, and happier than she could possibly have been had she remained in the body. I was with her as she passed over, and received her in my arms, and told her that she was with her mother and had nothing to fear, and that she had come to the spirit world, and would now know what love and happiness are, and that all her troubles had left her forever. I told her that she would not have to leave you and her brothers, except as regards her body, which was no longer a part of her, and which she would soon realise was merely a covering for herself. She was not afraid, and nestled in my arms as I kissed her, and told her that now she would understand how much her mother loved her, and how happy she would be in that love, and that in a very short time she would be perfectly content, and feel so happy that she had left behind the cares and troubles of her earth life." It is often said that when someone dies, people in this world grieve, but people in spirit celebrate. For someone who is grieving, that can seem a little blunt, even harsh, but there is much truth in it. From the perspective of people in spirit, this is one more person who does not need to face the challenges of the mortal life upon the earth. One more person they can now interact with face to face. This can bring them the same joy that a birth into our world brings here, possibly more, because a new arrival in spirit is never tinged with apprehension as to how that person's life might turn out for them. They also know that the new arrival will be able to visit the people they have left behind whenever they wish. From the perspective of people in spirit, Death involves no parting. Just as people awaiting a new arrival upon the earth do, people in spirit often prepare for a potential new arrival, and can move to do this quickly if the arrival is sudden or unexpected. Helen tells James that she was watching over their daughter, Nita, saying, "I was with her before she died, and she actually saw me as I waited at her bedside for her spirit to find a release from her body. She recognized and talked to me, and actually heard my voice as I encouraged her and called her to come to my arms. She was not afraid, and I know that I was as visible to her as I ever was on earth. She is now with me, or rather, I am with her, and I'm trying to help her realize fully that she is a spirit. And she is convinced, for as she tells me, she remembers the many talks that you had with her, in which you told her of my coming to you and to her with all my love and desire to make her happy. And that as she remembered these things, it seemed to be natural for her to have the experience of having me with her as her real loving mother." So we get a glimpse here of Helen working to help Nita become familiar with her new environment and state of being. What we also see here is the positive difference it makes to Nita that James has had many talks with her, telling her about the afterlife and about the many times that her mother, Helen, has told him of trying to impress her love upon Nita. So Nita's introduction to life in spirit is not some strange new experience that leaves her feeling bewildered. Instead, it is the happy experience of finding out that the things she had been told by her father are in fact true. That's an important reminder for all of us who explore spirit, that sharing what we know with others might not be believed at the time, yet will become the most delightful gift in time to come, when that person passes to spirit and finds out for themselves. Helen continues to reassure James that their daughter will be looked after, saying, "I will be with her a great deal, and so will many other spirits who love her, including your parents and mine. They were with her when she came over, and spoke to her of their love, and encouraged her to believe that she was really with them, and had nothing to fear, and that only love was around her. She will soon be in a better condition to appreciate her surroundings, and then I will bring her to you and let her tell you of her experience and her love for you and the boys. I know that you are sorrowful to have her leave you in the body, and that your heart is very heavy, as you expected to have her with you more intimately than ever, and to find much happiness and comfort in her presence. Now, dear, you must try not to worry or grieve, for as I have said, you have not lost her. She will be with you more than ever, and you will feel her presence and know that she is so much happier than when a mortal." So Helen reassures James that through his automatic writing, he will be able to communicate with Nita, just as he does with Helen and all the others who write to him. But Helen also knows that at this point in time at least, this is still less than James had been looking forward to before Nita's operation. She tells him that, "I wish that I could make myself visible to you so that I could comfort you the more and cause you to believe that your baby has not left you. Let not your belief in the fact that we are really alive go from you. We are more alive than ever, and can love you more than when in the earth life. So do not grieve, but know that it will not be long before you will be with us, and that this is a certainty. That might seem a strange way to comfort someone, telling them that it won't be too long before they too pass to spirit. But from the perspective of people in spirit, that day is a day of reunions to look forward to. Helen makes no hint of exactly when this might happen, although, as it turns out, she made this comment a bit less than 5 years from the day when James did eventually pass. She goes on to reassure James how much he is loved. "Oh, my dear, I love you so much tonight, and want to comfort you with my love, and with the assurance that now, as you sit in your room at night and feel lonesome, and sometimes wish that baby could be with you, I and your baby, who will soon be a bright spirit, will be with you and enjoy the happiness that her love for you will bring her. As I say, you must not grieve, for you are not strong, and grief will not be beneficial to your condition of mind. Think only of her as being a beautiful, loving spirit, filled with love for you, and always glad when she can be with you. But sorry that you may not be able to feel her arms around you and her kisses on your lips. Well, dear, I want to encourage you and keep you from worrying so that you would not be unhappy. I really believed that she would not die, but that she would have the strength to overcome the results of the operation. But I was mistaken, and for your sake I was as sorry as I could possibly be." We cannot always foretell the results of certain contingencies affecting the material conditions of mortals. We do not know these things as a matter of omniscience, but merely base our conclusions on what we believe will be the results of certain causes. This is a hugely valuable explanation from Helen. In the popular imagination, mediumship is so often confused with fortune-telling or predicting the future. The simple fact is that the future is not fixed. We have free will. We are not automata living through some predetermined sequence of events that we just have to go through. The desire to have some control over our future is as old as the human race, but that's all it is, a desire born of the daily pressure of living with the uncertainty of what life might throw at us. People seek predictions, want the future to be discernible, because we want our comfort blankets, and I fully understand why, but that's all they are. It is fair to say that people in spirit, particularly those who are more highly developed, can often make more reliable projections given their greater awareness of the forces and factors at play in our lives. But their projections are still projections, not predictions, even if they are called that by people speaking casually. Projections from people in spirit are not the result of their discerning some clear, fixed future event. Instead, they are the result of them exercising their judgment as to how things will turn out. Just like people on this side of life, people in spirit vary in their ability to judge things correctly or accurately. I know from my own work as a medium that you can feel the pull of what someone wants to hear, and it is not always easy to resist that, but words are powerful, and we do need to take care as to how we use them. Even people in spirit are not immune to how powerful the desire to comfort can be. As Helen goes on to tell James, "I was so anxious to comfort and relieve you from your worry, and the real fact is that you have no cause for worry. But I did not allude to this when I told you not to worry, for I believed that she would recover from her sickness, and so thought the others who wrote to you encouraging words. Even Dr. Campbell, a doctor in spirit, thought that she would be able to withstand the results of the operation. But in these things we cannot always judge aright. We are not infallible and cannot always exercise the power which we possess to bring about results that our loved ones on earth may desire. So, sweetheart, do not feel resentful because my promises did not come true. If you could only fully understand what the condition of your baby is, you would not want her with you in the body. I know that you will, at times, feel very lonesome and long for her as your dear one of earth form and companionship, but soon you will have such an experience with her as your spirit baby that you will not sorrow often because she left you. This I know without the possibility of your being disappointed, and you must try to believe me. Well, sweetheart, when you are a little stronger, I will come and write, and baby will write also. You are not in condition to write more tonight, and must go to bed. Love me and love her, and may God bless and comfort you, my dear husband. Your own true and loving Helen. Helen is being very honest here. She recognises that James is in need of reassurance and comfort, but she is clearly also aware that there is a limit to what she can say. There is no getting away from the fact that James has suffered a serious disappointment in the death of their daughter. People in spirit can draw close, can share their sensation of love with us, can do much to advise, reassure, and encourage us. But always a large part of what can be held out to us is simply the prospect of the day when we see things from their perspective. While we're living this life upon the earth, trying to find our way through the maze of demands and challenges that we face, we often feel we would dearly love to be able to see that maze from above. Even if the way through is a circuitous one, it's still a relief to see it. Much of the support that comes to us from people in spirit is simply them saying they can see the way through, even if we can't. And they will do their best to guide us along it. Despite his disappointment, James is fortunate in having the gift of automatic writing, because this allows Helen to hold out to him the prospect of hearing directly from their daughter, Nita. This she can do with near certainty that he will not be disappointed. And in the next episode, we're going to look at the message James received from his daughter just a week later. So I hope you'll join me for that. Also, just a reminder that the link to the transcript for this episode is given in the description box, together with the link to the video version on YouTube, in case either of those is helpful to you. I record these podcast episodes separately, so there are some slight differences in the opening and closing remarks, but that's all. So that brings us to the end of this episode. I look forward to welcoming you to the next one shortly. Take care meantime. Bye-bye.